Daniel 12 and 4. God told Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." God indicated the last generation would understand things about the book of Revelation that no other generation ever understood. The last generation is a generation that has the need to know, because we're going to be the generation that's here. The book of Revelation is a frightening book. It is a horrendous book. It is a terrifying book. And down through history, it has accomplished its purpose exactly as God intended. It has shown the awesome, unbelievable power of God, even though men may not have understood the exact specifics of it. But in the last days, God indicated men would run to and fro, man's knowledge would be increased, and for the first time, we would start to understand some things about God's creation that we had never understood before. And we would be able to understand what Luke said in 21:11, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places." The first two words in the book of Revelation are a giveaway to what the book's all about. The first two words are the revelation. It comes from a single Greek word, apokalypsis. It means to uncover and to unveil. It means like you have a huge statue. The guy that sculptured it is really proud of it. He's worked for years on it. And so he doesn't want the public to see it all at once, and he puts a huge shroud over it. Then when the people start coming in, they're all standing there waiting for this beautiful work of art. He pulls a cord over at the side, and slowly, the veil comes down, very slowly. First you see the forehead, then you see the eyes, then you see the nose, then the chin, very slowly, gradually all the way down to the chest, then down to the thighs, eventually to the knees, and finally to the feet. At first you can't tell much about it. That's what happened in the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth century. Then as the centuries passed and more prophecy was fulfilled, just like the statue was gradually and slowly unveiled, that is exactly what has happened to the book of Revelation. The book is from an old verb, apokalypto. It means to uncover and to unveil. We've even discovered some amazing things about the earth. We've discovered geologists using a sophisticated technique called seismic tomography can now take a kind of earth x-ray that allows them to look deep inside the planets. We've now seen all the way down to the core. Because earthquake waves move at different speeds, the time the signal arrives at seismic stations varies. Comparing the paths and arrival times at different stations which look into the earth from different angles yields pictures of what the waves must pass through on their way to the detectors. We're now looking at features inside the earth that were not seen well or never seen before at all. We've now been able to see down inside the earth. Over the past 2 years, seismic tomography has been producing X-ray-like images down to the core of the planet, picturing for the first time objects deep beneath our feet. On the earth, it is the crust that floats and is divided into abutting plates, tectonic plates. These plates ride atop the rolling convection of the earth in which hotter, less dense rock boils up under the crust. Geologists could see little of this process, and the boiling cycle theory was in controversy, but that began to change in the 1970s when a medical invention, the CAT scan, which uses multiple X-ray images from different angles of a computer program to develop a three-dimensional image of the inside of the body. Geophysicists soon realized they could do something similar with their thousands of seismic stations around the earth. So now we know what the earth looks like inside. Only God knew. In the 5th century, 10th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, but now finally in the 20th century, we are starting to understand some things as we've run to and fro on the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, and now some of the things in the book of Revelation we can understand. This is a picture of what the earth looks like underneath. Everywhere you see one of these red lines, thousands of miles of them, traversing the entire earth itself, these white lines move their way radically down through the earth, and along every single inch, it eventually makes contact with great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. These plates move, and they produce the world's earthquakes. They also produce the world's volcanic eruptions. As I presented this lecture series, as you can see from these various charts and diagrams that I'm putting on the screen, you can see how earthquakes have increased. I'm not going to bother to read these figures because you've sat through them many different times. You see here the earthquakes since 1967, greater than one on the Richter scale. Those of you that are listening on the tapes, you heard me quote these statistics many times. Middle quakes, 4.5 to 4.9. For those of you listening on the tape, I'm barely flashing a bunch of earthquake statistics on the screen that I've probably read hundreds of times, and you're tired of them out there, and probably the people here are too. These are major quakes, 6 to 9. So I've covered all that and shown why these things are happening. When God made the earth, God made it in such a way that God has the power to do everything he said in the book of Revelation by his own power and not by the scientific expertise of man. God is not going to destroy man with scientific expertise. Man will not destroy himself with atomic weaponry, but rather God will destroy man with the earth, and you are looking at the very earth that he will use to do that. I've pointed out several times that God used this same tectonic plate structure in the Old Testament to open up the fountains of the great deep, these cracks along the ocean seafloor during the time of Noah, and God brought water from beneath and water from above, and God flooded the entire earth. I've read Genesis 6:13 to you many times, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And he said, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. In the actual Hebrew tongue, he says, I will destroy them along with the earth. God took the earth that he made. He moved and manipulated the tectonic plates. Unbelievable amounts of water came flushing up along the tectonic plate boundaries where meteoric water had been stored for a very long period of time. God brought it up to the surface. He broke up the fountains of the great deep. Any Bible reference source will tell you the fountains of the great deep are the oceans and seas of the world. He broke up these tectonic plates. He brought up the liquid water. He flooded the entire earth. He's going to do the same thing once again, but there isn't any water left down there to any great degree. Well, what is left down there is fire. In Luke 17:29, we're told, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. On a certain day, a certain man named Lot went out of a certain city. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed the occupants of Sodom and Gomorrah. God indicates it's going to be just like this, but it's going to be all over the earth, thousands and thousands of Sodom and Gomorrahs, thousands and thousands of volcanic eruptions, everywhere those red lines exist. For he immediately follows this in verse 30. He has just told us in verse 29, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven. In verse 30, the first five words tell you exactly what it's going to be like. Even thus shall it be. On a certain day, a certain man named Lot went out of Sodom. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven. On a certain day, a certain man named Jesus is going to return to the earth. And in that day, when the Son of Man is revealed, even thus shall it be. Even thus shall it be, fire and brimstone all over the earth, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. The God-breathed word for revealed is apocalypsis. This is not referring to what we call the rapture or the first resurrection. On the rapture or the first resurrection, whichever you wish to call it, all the saved are going to be caught out, taken up to heaven to be with the Lord. They're going to be judged in heaven, and then they are going to return, and every eye shall see him when he returns with his vast heavenly army. That is what it is talking about here. This is the very end of the tribulation period. This is when he comes back with all the saints to rule and reign for 1,000 years. This is where the maximum intensity of the tribulation period is reached. This is the Battle of Armageddon. He will return to end it. He will be revealed, apocalypsis. That means to be completely exposed, visible to every eye, and they will see him whom they have pierced. So all these things involve the earth. They involve the way the earth is constructed. Many times I've shown you these volcanic statistics, eruption activity after 1967 among notable volcanoes. You can see the way the volcanic eruptions have increased from 1970 to 1980. We had approximately one eruption every 5 months across the earth. From 1980 to 1990, we had approximately one eruption every 3 months. From 1990 up to the present time, 1999, we are having actually one plus eruption per month across the surface of the earth. Volcanic eruptions have absolutely, positively, unequivocally been on the increase. Now, what you just saw was among notable volcanoes. These statistics include all volcanoes. From 1798 to 1848, we had an average of one plus eruption per month across the earth. From 1848 to 1898, we had an eruption of two plus per month across the earth. From 1898 to 1948, in that 50-year period, we had an average of 3 plus per month. From 1948 to 1994, we had an average of 4 plus per month. From 1967 right up to 1999, we've had an average of 5 plus per month across the surface of God's earth. So all the different ingredients are coming together. It's time for the second coming of Christ. I can't tell you the exact time, but he's coming. Now, what I'm going to talk about next is the fifth trumpet. We've already finished trumpets 1, 2, 3, and 4. We finished trumpet 4, we finished trumpet 4, which is the disappearance of the heavenly bodies, the effect on the sun, moon, and stars. We finished that last week, and before that, of course, it was trumpet number 3, which was the wormwood. Trumpet number 1 were volcanic eruptions on land. Trumpet number 2, volcanic eruptions under the earth, under the seas and oceans of the world. Trumpet number 3 was wormwood. Trumpet number 4, which we just finished last Sunday, had to do with the appearance of heavenly bodies because of the smoke cloud and shield that will be built up around the entire earth. Now we're going to begin the blowing of the fifth trumpet. Revelation 9, 1 and 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit. Now, first of all, let's talk about this star.
Throughout the Bible, there are times when angels are referred to as stars. The fallen angels in the, I believe, the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation that were cast down to the earth with the devil are those angels of God that chose to follow him. So all I can tell you about this star is it is a heavenly being. Some people say this star is Jesus. Some people say this star is the devil. Some people say it's an angel. But I'm going to be correct, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to say it's a heavenly being. That way you can't be wrong. I personally feel that it's an angel, but I believe that it is a heavenly being, and of that I'm absolutely certain. And while I'm sure it's an angel, I'm positive I know it's a heavenly being. He receives authority from God to do something. And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. He comes from the Uranos, the dwelling place of God, the heaven. He comes into the earth. Okay, what's he standing on? Well, he comes from a place called heaven to a place called the earth. You see here on the screen the tectonic plate structure. You see the whole world itself. You see these red lines. You see them on the as the surface of the earth itself. This is where he is standing. What does he do when he comes from this place called heaven unto this place called earth? He opens a place called the bottomless pit. He has a key. And the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. If I were to give you a key to that door over there, assuming it was locked, and I were to say to you, you were in a certain place, let's say it was heaven, and I sent you to a place called earth, and I wanted you to unlock something, and I gave you a key to unlock it, let's just say for conversation's sake that that door over there is the place that I sent you to rather than earth. I would give you a key which gave you the authority to unlock that door. I would send you to that door. You would put the key in that door, and you would open this door. I would not send you to some deep, dark, mysterious, spiritual place that nobody understands in order to open something up. He goes to the earth. The earth is the place where he goes. He is standing on the earth. The key has to be to something on this earth. I will tell you exactly what it is, and I am quite confident this is correct. These red lines weave their way erratically down through the earth, and they all make contact with great underground liquid lakes called magma. The word bottomless is abyssu. The word pit is phreatos, abyssu phreatos. Well, it's kind of like a preacher. He's a bottomless pit. He can just keep on eating forever. And so can Darrell Berry. Darrell Berry is a bottomless pit. He can just eat forever. But abyssu phreatos, shaft abyss, means a shaft, like a well shaft, and this is what he opens. It's like a well shaft, and you can't see the bottom, and you assume it goes all the way through the earth. This key opens the earth itself. Now, that's a forward key, and you notice I have it going through the earth, and what he is going to open are these shaft abysses that go down into hell. You will notice all these different eras going through the earth. If you were to go outside right now and start digging, and you could dig down through the earth and go through all that liquid rock and magma, you would never find the bottom. There are all kinds of different geometric figures. This pulpit is roughly a square. You can see it has a bottom. This Lord's Supper table is a rectangle. It has a bottom. There are cylinders. They have bottoms. There are triangles. They have bottoms. There are pyramids. They have bottoms. And most preachers have very large bottoms. So all geometric figures have bottoms. But there is one that does not, a circle or a spheroid. The earth is an oblate spheroid. It has no bottom. If you could dig all the way through, from right outside here, you would come up somewhere in the vicinity, probably of Lop Nor, China. Of course, you can't dig through, but you see the earth has no bottom. These shafts that lead down into the earth are phreatos. They are shafts that lead down into a geometric figure that has no bottom. I said all that to say this. The earth is the bottomless pit. When he wrote this, he wrote, Hey, Clays, tu phreatos, tes abyssu, the key of the pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit or the shaft of the abyss. You will notice here from these well-known reference sources, it refers to the shaft leading down to the abyss. That's what these cracks are, great shafts leading down through the earth. Now, That's why I said earlier, only the last generation could understand this. No other generation had a need to know, because the other generations weren't going to be here. But you're going to be here for part of this. So when these plates start to move, when all hell starts to break loose on the earth, you will not be in darkness. You will understand what is happening. You will understand it is all a part of God's process. He says concerning Abisu, the reference is to the lower regions as the abode of demons. In this particular fifth trumpet, you will notice that creatures come up out of the bottomless pit. Those creatures are demons. And John describes exactly what they look like. And before we're finished with this fifth trumpet, we will go into what those demons are and why. Abisu means bottomless. It describes an immeasurable depth, the underworld, the lower regions, the abyss of Sheol. So what I'm saying is this. Here's the earth. Here are these cracks that go down through it. Right here is hell. Just like there are different degrees of rewards in heaven, there are different degrees of punishment in hell. Some people will be in the very center, the interior of hell. Hell is in the earth. Hell is not a mysterious place that cannot be understood. The souls of all the departed dead who have left their bodies without Christ are now in the earth in an abyssu friatos. They have gone through the shafts. They are in hell. And right now they are in extreme, tremendous torment. Hell is a literal physical place. And next Sunday, if I don't get to it this Sunday, I will absolutely, positively, conclusively prove that to you. So when I talk about abyssu friatos, bottomless pit, shaft abyss, I'm talking about these shafts that go down into hell. This is what they look like. If you want to see exactly what a friatos is, there it is. The earth is the bottomless pit, and there's a friatos, a shaft. These cracks are shaft abysses that go down into the earth. This heavenly messenger comes to a place called earth. If I were given a key and I was sent to this door, I would open what I was sent to, the door. What this heavenly messenger does by the power of God is to have the authority to open these cracks and to start a process on the earth that is literally allowing hell to flow up on the surface of the earth. And I say this reverently before God, all hell is going to break loose. This is what the earth looks like inside. It's a color diagram, and you can see what the earth is like inside. You want to know where hell is? Hell is right down here. You want to know what it's like? It is dark as pitch. There is no light there whatsoever. You want to know what it's like physiologically? It's hot as hell. It's dark as pitch and hot as hell. That is where all the lost souls are right now. Now you may say, well, that just sounds pretty far-fetched to me. But I will guarantee you before I'm finished, I'll make a case to prove that everything I'm telling you is the absolute truth. When the Lord first wrote the book of Revelation, nobody knew what the earth was like because nobody had ever been down inside it. Actually, the earth is like a great furnace. Inside, the furnace operates, releases energy, drives the tectonic plates. Whenever you open one of these cracks, smoke comes out. Why do I believe the earth is a bottomless pit? I've already told you the heavenly messenger, the star, he has the authority to unlock something. You don't send somebody somewhere to do something and give them a key unless they're supposed to use it where they arrive. He arrives on the earth and he opens the earth. Notice what happens immediately after he opens the earth and the resultant action. And he opened the bottomless pit, the abyssu friatos, the shaft, the earth itself. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, coming up out of the friatos, the shaft, as the smoke of a great furnace. No one knew in 95 A.D. when John wrote this that the interior of the earth is a great furnace. God told Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. What happens every time one of these cracks is opened up? Read the rest of the verse. And the sun and air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. When he opens it, the smoke comes up out of the pit. During the tribulation period, you're going to see these cracks open. You're going to see this heavenly messenger given the authority to open them. He opens them. They begin to move. They begin to accelerate in their movement. And this is what you're going to see all over the earth. This is what comes up out of one of these cracks. You can see the smoke of the earth. There it is. It's real. It's genuine. Every single thing that God has used to describe this is absolutely accurate. It fits every single detail of the scripture. In the last days, you were meant to understand this. I was meant to understand this. You're already seeing part of it happen. You're seeing part of the volcanic eruptions on their natural increase. Well, where's hell?
Hell is right here in the earth. Hell is a literal physical place. It's not some spiritual concept or spiritual place that you cannot understand. Now, if you ask me what the lake of fire is, into which hell and the grave and the earth are going to be cast at the end of the millennial reign, if you ask me what the lake of fire is, that's an entirely different ballgame. And maybe one day I'll talk to you about what I think it is, but the truth is I'm not sure what it is. But as far as the earth is concerned, the earth is the bottomless pit, and down in the interior of it is hell, and that's where all the lost souls are confined that did not receive Christ in their lifetime. You may say, well, that doesn't seem fair. Well, what seems fair to us is not our own preconceived ideas of what's fair. We have to accept what God said is fair. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. This is the tribulation period. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. This is the blood of the earth. Whenever these tectonic plates are open in the tribulation period, it's coming out. If you take the cover off the earth, you see here South America, you here see the United States over here, you see Eurasia over here, and this is the interior of the earth. That ball that you see there is hell. The hottest part of hell, the hottest part of the interior of the earth, is at its very center. That's where false teachers, I believe, are going to be confined. I believe false teachers are going to be confined in the hottest part of hell, the darkest. It's pitch dark all over. But I believe they're going to suffer the greatest punishment because I believe they have actually committed the greatest sin. Spiritual adultery and those that are led into it by false teachers in many cases. And those false teachers are going to have the hottest part in hell. Just like there are different degrees of rewards in heaven, there are going to be different degrees of punishment in hell. So what I've said thus far is, everywhere you see one of the red lines on this chart, they are shaft abysses, abyssu phreatos, that go down through the earth and eventually make contact with great underground liquid lakes of rock called hell. It is in those underground liquid lakes of rock called hell that God has confined the lost of all the ages. Now, let me tell you why I know, why I'm convinced that hell is in the center of the earth, because a lot of people say that's old-fashioned. Well, I'm a geologist, and I'm very modern in my thinking. I'm not liberal in my thinking, but I'm a realistic geologist, and I believe that every word that God has breathed in his word is true. Some people have a hard time accepting that God would put a soul. You've never seen your soul. We know when you die, your soul comes out of this body. Nobody can see it. Except those over in the spiritual realm, they can see your soul when it comes out, and you can see them. But the soul is a spiritual thing. You can't see it. It's not like flesh and blood. So when that comes out, it's kind of hard to picture how could God confine something that's spiritual, like a soul, to a literal, physical, material place like the interior of the earth, which is made out of all the elements on a periodic chemistry chart. Well, God does do that. God has the ability to confine spiritual beings to material places. As an illustration of this, take a look at Revelation 9:14. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, and we'll eventually get to this trumpet, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are in the great river Euphrates. Now there is absolutely no question that angels are spiritual beings. They're all spirit. And so here are four spiritual beings that God has bound, confined in the great river Euphrates. The great river Euphrates is an actual, literal, physical, material river that flows out of Turkey and eventually goes down into the Persian Gulf. Those angels are confined there. They are spiritual beings confined to a material place. If you have trouble identifying it that way, then try this. Every morning when you get up and you look in the mirror, you're looking at the dust of the earth. You're looking at all the periodic elements on a chemistry chart. You're looking at potassium. You're looking at chlorine. You're looking at zinc. You're looking at hydrogen. You're looking at oxygen. You're looking at a literal physical material body. Your body is literal, physical, and material. And yet, your soul is confined inside that literal physical material body. So is your spirit. Your spirit, your soul can't come out of there until God decrees it. So, your soul, your spirit, which you can't see, is confined to a literal physical material place. God has made a habit of doing that for a long time. So when I tell you that the souls are confined to a literal physical material place called hell in the interior of the earth, I am not violating any principle that God's Word teaches. As a matter of fact, the way I came to this conclusion was strictly based on the Word of God. In Proverbs 15:24,
The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Proverbs 15 tells us hell is beneath our feet. Amos 9 and 2. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, whence will I bring them down? This tells us heaven is above. It tells us that hell is a place you dig into. You dig into the earth, therefore hell is in the interior of the earth. Isaiah 14, 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. So here we have a confirmation again that hell is beneath our feet. Hell hath enlarged herself. Now how on earth could that possibly happen? I've had a lot of preachers that have told me, well, hell's going to bust wide open with all those lost souls going into it. Well, I doubt that that's the right interpretation, but it may well be. But here's hell. Taking a look at this chart, you see all the red inside it. You see the core. You see the cells around it. You see all the different rock flowing underneath it. That's hell. And this is the center of hell in the core. Now, this is hell. That's where the lost souls are. It's confined to the interior of the earth. In other words, you've got the interior of the earth pressing in on it. So hell has a certain size, a physical size. What's the only way it can enlarge? It has to come out on the surface. As it comes out through this surface, it not only has this same volume inside that it had previously, but it increases its volume on the outside. So in the tribulation period, hell is going to literally enlarge itself because a part of hell is going to come out on the earth. When you talk about enlarging, you're talking about an increase in volume. So with that in mind, I'm telling you that the volume of hell is going to increase, and I believe that's what this means. Hell hath enlarged itself. How did she do it? And opened her mouth. What are these cracks in the crust of the earth? They are bottomless pits. They are abyssu phreatos. They are shaft abysses. Those cracks that go down through the earth are the mouths of hell. Hell enlarges itself in the tribulation period by coming out upon the earth. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Now notice what happens to the lost. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Hell is a place that the lost go down into. And believe it or not, all those lost souls are right there in hell at the present time. Isaiah 26, 21. This is absolutely, positively, conclusively a tribulation period scripture. It is in the second half of the tribulation period. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood. The interior of the earth and that blood-red liquid, that magma, which is called lava when it comes out on the surface, is going to be disclosed, open on the surface, and shall no more cover her slain. The slain, the bodies will be cast out at the rapture, and then, I say this reverently, all hell will break loose. Hell will enlarge itself by opening her mouth. We'll talk a little bit more next Sunday about this blood of the earth, why I know this word in the Old Testament, Dom, in the New Testament, Hamar, Hamati, refers not to human blood in this particular case, but to the actual blood of a living organism, which we call the earth. So it is now about 9:45.